And maybe right now, if you're here today and your life is kind of typified by misery, you got to back the train up, and it starts with you're not living a life of wisdom. You've been operating on the earth in what is unspiritual and demonic, and the result of that will always be misery.
Hey, thanks for joining us today at Live in the Light. Here on this program, we are all about radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. And how do you really, truly dig into God's truth? With God's wisdom. And James 3 tells us to get wisdom from above, from the Lord Himself. The first part of our message today, True and False Wisdom, tells us that the call for wisdom is clear, and that it produces fruit in a true disciple of Jesus. Today's message goes farther into James 3, and we learn the consequences of not pursuing wisdom and what false wisdom results in. So open your Bible with me right now to James 3:13 to learn more about what he has to say about true and false wisdom. Here's Pastor Robbie.
That's bitter jealousy, and that's envy. Jealousy here is when your unhappiness is over someone else's happiness. We are miserable because other people are joyful. It's when we secretly wish for the demise of another. It's when we rejoice when others fall. We even secretly pray for others to get what's coming to them. It's the wickedness of the heart. Do you know why jealousy and envy is such a serious problem? It's because it's one of those sins that's hardly ever confessed. I think we're much more likely to confess sins of anger, ill speech, maybe even lust or greed. But you hardly ever hear someone confess jealousy and envy. Why? Why? Because it's one of those sins that just reveals just the reality and the inner workings of the heart. It's almost like we're just terrified to admit what's really going on. And this is why jealousy and envy then is so often camouflaged as other things, right? We cry out for injustice, or we cry out for justice at our injustice. We complain that we're treated unfairly, that we have it bad, that people are against us. We cry out that we've been grieved. But really what happens to me, this is where you have to be wise and pull it back. Really what's happening is, it's not fair. They're not treating me right. There's injustice here. But quite often, if you pull it back, as you uncover the layers, and the root of it is jealousy. The root of it is bitterness, because they're getting what we deserve. And so we camouflage it as a cry of injustice. But reality, if you really pull it back, we're so angry that we're not getting what we think we deserve, and we hate that others have it. Jealousy and envy are so wicked because when we're around people we like, even people we admire sometimes, when they fail or fall, we rejoice because in the end we want what they have. And really, here, really, jealousy is when we want other people to be miserable, just like us. See, so jealousy and envy is terrible because nothing sucks the joy out of our lives as much as envy, bitterness, and jealousy. Now, if jealousy wasn't bad enough, notice in verse 14, it's kind of qualified as bitter jealousy. And bitterness, of course, speaks of resentment, harsh treatment, piercing, cutting of others, biting, bitter in heart. At church, make sure you know this today. Bitter words reveal a bitter heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Words of bitterness reveal a heart of bitterness within. A quote we used a couple of weeks ago, which is so penetrating, was the quote, "Bitterness is the poison we drink, hoping someone else will die." Remember that? Bitterness is the poison we drink, but we're hoping someone else will die from it. the devastation of bitter jealousy. And then the other sin that James mentions here is selfish ambition. Selfish ambition directly involves angry competition. It's the intentional undermining of another person for your gain. It's commonly linked to sinful competition between leaders. There's a fighting for prominence. There's a wrestling and a fighting for position. Selfish ambition speaks of rivalry, being factious, insubordination, and self-advancement. It's like Absalom, when he undermines his own dad, father, David, the king, and Absalom positions himself by the gate to have people coming in to promote himself as savior, to provide the answers he thinks they want to hear, and then to purposely steal the hearts of the individuals that they might turn against his father, David, the king at that time. That is selfish ambition. It's the wickedness of the human heart. We are intentionally seeking to tear others down that we might be promoted in their place. One of the foremost sins that wreaks havoc upon the church and upon Christians. Notice too, in verse 14, again, just a phrase you can't miss here. Notice bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. What does it say next? It says, in your hearts. The Bible here is revealing this is a heart problem. When we have these sins running through our lives, it's an absolutely clear diagnosis that we have a heart problem. This behavior is the opposite of wisdom. It's the exact opposite of wisdom. Again, what happens? We try to excuse it. We try to blame others. We try to rationalize it away. But right now, before the Lord, Holy Spirit, Bible open right now, I mean, let's just be honest enough. If the Holy Spirit has revealed already in our lives, in our hearts, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, the wise thing to do, and the truly wise and meek person right now repents of the sin as opposed to focusing on someone else beside you right now or someone else across, whatever it might be, the wise person says, yes, my heart is the problem. I repent. Because you can't change someone else, but you can change you by God's grace. So the wise person is not looking to blame anyone right now. The wise person joins David and says, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, I'm the problem. I have the heart problem. Please, Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me. Renew a right spirit within me. Against you and you only have I sinned, oh God. I need your help. I need your cleansing. I am the problem. Please, Lord, give me a clean heart. Such a critical point of wisdom right now for all of us here to own what we need to own. Now, if that all wasn't enough heart surgery, now we have again verses 15 and 16. Look at that. It says, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above. Selfish ambition, bitter jealousy. This is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Okay, let's just stop there for a second. So this is devastating. So often we seek to explain our sin away. The Holy Spirit calls us out right now. He's like, no. Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, let's call it for what it is. It is earthly, it is unspiritual, and it is demonic. What does that mean? Earthly versus heavenly, right? When we have wisdom from above, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, what is that? That is earthly. Colossians 3:2. If you've been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above, not things on the earth. Because the things of the earth don't last. So wisdom says, I live for what is above. I live for what is heavenly. I live for what is eternal. But earthly, again, false wisdom is of the earth. We're so focused on the here and now, we miss out on what is actually true. He says, this wisdom is unspiritual, or it is natural. Natural compared to supernatural. It is unspiritual compared to what is spiritual. It is the flesh as opposed to what is of the Spirit of God. That's what James means right there. This is when we are operating in the natural or the flesh, this is when human feeling reigns our lives or human reasoning rules our day. We are not operating by the Holy Spirit of God. We are operating by the flesh and on the terms of the world around us. That is the wisdom from below. That is earthly, unspiritual wisdom. And then the last qualifier he says here, this is demonic. Wow, demonic, he says. Demonic as opposed to Christ. So let's be super clear here right now too, right? I mean, the Bible's calling us out big time right now. It tells us here that when we are filled with bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, the roots of that are satanic. The roots of those sins, again, of course, are demonic. And think of the fall of Satan, right? The fall of Satan, of course, was rooted in jealousy, envy, and selfish ambition. Listen, he's been leading in this way ever since. He is trying to get as many people as possible to jump on this bitter jealousy and selfish ambition train so he can ruin as many lives in the process. And he can devastate marriages and ruin homes and devastate leaderships and devastate churches and devastate groups and just devastate movements. And he's been successful more than we care to admit. And notice the result then of such thinking. Look at verse 16 now. For where jealousy, and then again, notice mentioned again, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every evil or vile practice, right? So doesn't this explain the conflict in relationships? Doesn't this explain the conflict of relationships between leaders and leaders in the church? Doesn't this reveal the strategy of Satan to ruin churches and to bring chaos and disorder and evil within the church in itself? It does. I came across a really good quote by a couple of commentators this week. Look at this. It's very insightful. When we fight for power in Christian circles, look at this. Evil establishes a foothold. See, what is so sobering to me, there's nothing that maybe gives evil a better foothold in Christian circles than bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. When we operate within worldly values, seeking our own honor and status, we even offer Satan an entrance into the house of God. That is very, very telling and very wise statement. Sobering. When we are filled with the wisdom of God, the door stays shut. The security system's in place. It keeps Satan and his demons out. When we start to operate in bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, that door swings wide open and we're basically welcoming Satan in to our own hearts, our lives, and to wreak havoc upon the church. Serious stuff. I mean, the Bible really knows what it's talking about, doesn't it? I've been in ministry long enough to say this is such a critical word. How many situations of disorder, chaos, instability, evil, right? And here's the thing too, right? When you pull off the layers, like all of us, if we've been in the church for longer than just a couple of years, all of us have gone through stuff. And so often, again, it's like there's all these blaming and accusations and there's all these, you know, very difficult situations of people against one another. But if you really pull it back, what the Bible's telling us today, if you really pull off the layers, if you get down to the root, so the fruit is, you know, jealousy, or the fruit is all the conflict and division. But if you get at the root is more often, time and time and time again, is bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. That's what the Bible's telling us today, because that's how Satan runs. That is his character. The father of lies and rooted in evil practices with jealousy and selfish ambition. This is the door we're learning here. This is the door that Satan most commonly uses to destroy the church. Wow. This is the door he most commonly uses to destroy families and to ruin relationships. So right now is a moment of wisdom. And the Holy Spirit's doing a lot of application right now here, overflow elsewhere. Are we wise enough right now to own what we need to own? Remember, right now, it's not about you blaming the person a few seats away from you. Wisdom right now is not trying to justify their sinful tendencies by what's been done to them. Wisdom right now is not trying to produce a self-righteousness because they deserve what they're getting from me. That's not wisdom. That's foolishness. Wisdom right now, are we wise enough to own what's ours? Are we wise enough to own our sin right now? You can't change someone else. You can change it. You can change you. That's what wisdom does. Lord, I see my sin. I repent. Lord, I see my sin. My heart needs to be cleansed. See, because wisdom knows when I do that, I win. Wisdom knows when I blame others, I lose. Every single time. And that's why the Holy Spirit takes so much time here in such detail to explain these hard but very, very important truths. So the opposite of true wisdom is absolutely devastating. Now, aren't you glad there's one more point? Imagine we ended right there and just say, hey, God bless you. Hope you feel better about yourself. Here we go. That's good. Sermon's over. But it's not. We have one more point, and it's a very positive point. Number three is this: the fruit of true wisdom is beautiful. The fruit of true wisdom, heavenly wisdom, godly wisdom now is beautiful. Look at verse 17 now. But, right? But here's the contrast. But in contrast to earthly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom, here's the wisdom from above. It is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, and it is sincere. So what this becomes right now is a spiritual checklist. It's like we're going to the Holy Spirit doctor appointment. And the Holy Spirit now wants to show us, hey, how are we doing in terms of wisdom from above? Because here's what it should look like. So this is exciting, and we get to do that just for a couple of minutes here, okay? Notice this first of all. First of all, true wisdom is pure. It is pure. What does that mean? The foundation of wisdom is the purity of God. It's a mind that is rooted in purity. It's the opposite of being duplicitous or double-mindedness, chapter 1, verse 8. The opposite of double-mindedness. One person here, another person over there. It is the pursuit of moral blamelessness. Really, pure here is the opposite of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. When we are filled with God's wisdom from above, we spurn bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, and we have a foundation of having a purity within our lives of thinking the thoughts that God wants us to have. It's interesting. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The wisdom of God is always pure, and the wisdom of God finds those who also are pure. Next, the text says the wisdom is peaceable. So demonic wisdom is combative. Demonic wisdom seeks a fight. Demonic wisdom wants to divide and create strife. But peaceable is the opposite of that. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So in our lives, are we known for being peacemakers or are we peace takers? Do we create peace or steal peace from situations? Those with wisdom create peace. Next, true wisdom is gentle. This is closely tied here to meekness. Comes from the kind of same root of this, a willingness. What is willingness to yield? A willingness to forego my rights. A desire to be kind. Wisdom is gentle. False wisdom is harsh and bitter. True wisdom is gracious and kind and gentle. It was Jesus who said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Wisdom is being open to reason, open to reason. By far, some of the hardest situations we have ever had to deal with, me, maybe you as well, are when you meet with people who refuse to listen. They are wise in their own eyes, Proverbs says. They are 100% certain that their view is the only view. And they are right 100% of the time. There is no teachability. There is no reasonableness. There is no willing to even listen to a counter position. The Bible describes that person 100 times over as a total fool. Proverbs describes that person 100 times as a complete fool because they will not listen to anything contrary to their opinion. Open to reason is the opposite of that. Open to reason is the wisdom of God. It exhibits teachability. There's a willingness to listen. They are pleased to exercise deference because they know they don't know everything. And they know they can't see their blind spots. And they know they need counsel and help around them. They know they don't know. It goes on to say that true wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. So wisdom from above, church, is a wisdom that loves. It is full of mercy. It is full of compassion. James is big on this all throughout, again, this letter. There's a wisdom of mercy, and it's full of that and full of good fruits. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So a life of wisdom, notice, is full of fruit, right there in the text. It is full of mercy. It is full of good fruits. There's a bounty of fruitfulness that comes from the life of wisdom because it's a wisdom from God, and God tends to produce a lot of fruit. True wisdom, finally, is impartial and it is sincere. The wisdom from above is not partial. It is not prejudiced. God's wisdom from above is sincere. It is genuine. You cannot fake true wisdom from above. It is so strikingly beautiful. This is the wisdom that God desires to produce in us, that he zealously wants to give us. It's the wisdom from above, which is in direct contrast to the false wisdom from what is below. Now look at verse 18. We'll end here. Verse 18, James says, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." That phrase, "a harvest of righteousness," that is so good, eh? That's what wisdom from above results in. So look up here for a second, okay? Here's what we're learning. Look up here for a second. So wisdom, the life of wisdom, leads to a harvest of righteousness in Christ, but a pursuit of holiness. Seek first the kingdom of God, right? And his righteousness, right? So where there's true wisdom, there is righteousness. Where there's righteousness, then there will be peace. The righteousness of Christ and the peace we have in life leads to a bounty of peace. Let's back that up for a second though. Let's kind of reverse that, right? Where there's a lack of wisdom, false wisdom leads to sinfulness, bitter jealousy, and selfish ambition. And this will lead ultimately to misery, to a lack of peace. Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition leads to despair and anger and sinful again, misery. And maybe right now, if you're here today and your life is kind of typified by misery, you got to back the train up. And it starts with, you're not living a life of wisdom. You've been operating on the earth in what is unspiritual and demonic. And the result of that will always be misery. And if you're not careful, death. But a life of wisdom in Christ and meekness leads to righteousness, a harvest of righteousness that ultimately will put us in a place we have a peace that surpasses understanding because we are bearing the very fruit of God and the Holy Spirit within our lives. This is what God wants to give us today. It's beautiful today that we get to respond to this message with the Lord's Supper. So what I'm going to ask you to do is maybe just to quietly pack your things up here and as you do so, I just would like to lead us in a response before we receive the Lord's Supper together. I think there's a lot of conviction in the room today. I think there's a lot of things to consider and think about. So I just love for you to be still. I just love for you to just to bow your heads where you are with me. And let's just consider a few things as we approach the seriousness of the Lord's Supper. Remember, church, Jesus Christ is the epitome and personification of wisdom. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is holiness and righteousness and wisdom. The Lord's Supper is to remind us of what Christ did for us, to save us, to bear the penalty for our sin. And we are instructed in Scripture as we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper as genuine believers, we're called to examine our hearts and lives. This is a good day to do this based on our passage. I just encourage you right now, strongly urge you actually, examine your life right now and confess all bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. What has the Lord revealed to you today about jealousy and selfish ambition in your lives? Maybe some layers have been pulled back and you've been able to see, this is the source of my hurt. You know, actually for some right now, I just wanna encourage you to that maybe it's significant enough that these sins are significantly rooted in your life enough that maybe today you don't take communion. Maybe the instructions of Jesus, when you know you've offended someone and hurt them, that you leave your gift at the altar and go get right with them before you come back to offer your gift. Maybe that's you today. And maybe today or tomorrow, you are led to get right with someone and just to own jealousy and selfish ambition, and then to have your conscience cleared and just to know the forgiveness that is there, and to come back on Friday, Good Friday, and to receive with a clear conscience and a renewed love and sense of God working in your life. How awesome would that be? I leave that up to you and the Holy Spirit, but I'm sure there's more than one. So we examine our hearts and we understand if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We examine, we remember. What a week to remember. This is why Christ died for us, church. He died because only he could pay for the sins that we commit each and every day. He came to live and die to save us from our wretched sin. Just think, where would we be without the cross of Jesus Christ? Remember, his meekness led to our salvation, his surrender, his willingness. Maybe you, like me right now, then you're filled with a new perspective on what Christ did, and you're filled with gratitude. Gratitude to Jesus Christ. His death gave us peace with God. Now his peace is to live through us. You see, we're no longer enemies with God. We are friends of God. And now the peace of Jesus Christ is to live in us and then to be seen through us to one another. That's the whole point. And maybe you have a sense of hope. We are to proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. The hope, church, the hope, remember, the one day when Christ returns and when the perfection of wisdom will be perfectly known. Oh, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. So I just remind you too, there's many, many people here today. The Lord's Supper is a serious thing, and it's for those who are truly saved and alive in Jesus Christ. If you are here today and you are not sure of your genuine salvation in Jesus Christ by grace through faith, just please let the elements pass, but to take a moment right now and to consider your place before Christ. Are you a sinner in need of a savior? Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you from your sins. Maybe today you will say, Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you're the savior of my sins. I believe you're the only one to give everlasting life. I believe you died for my sins on the cross and rose from the dead, defeating death once and for all. And if I believe in you, Jesus, then I receive your gift of grace and I will never die again. And you can gain entrance into the kingdom of God and be called child of God, never to fear death again. That's why he came. This is the power of remembering what Christ did for us. Yes, Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. It is clear, and sometimes it is difficult to receive, yet it is so needed. It is so needed. This is how Satan wants to ruin our lives and ruin our church, through sins like bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. So in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, you would root it out, and I pray that you would allow us to confess our sins to be cleansed. And I pray we would marvel at your grace, marvel that you don't just strike with the lightning and just cast us into judgment right now, but the love that we've received, the grace that we've been given, just amazing. So may this time be very special, a time of remembrance, examination, time of confession, a time of gratitude, a time of hope. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Living the Light listeners, Robbie Simons here. Hey, again, as the Christmas season is upon us and the Advent season, this is an incredible opportunity to draw close again to the power and the truth of the Incarnation. And on that note, I've been blessed to be able to write an Advent devotional called God With Us, Investigating into the Power and the Glories of the Incarnation. You can find a copy on Amazon.ca or Amazon.com. We would love for that to be something that you get your hands on to encourage you, again, to unpack the reality, the power, and the beauty of the Incarnation this season. Again, Advent devotional, 25 days, growing closer to Jesus. Again, called God With Us. You can find that on Amazon.com or Amazon.ca. God bless you this Christmas season.
That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna